It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
What's up, everybody? This is Stick to Football, Bleacher Report's college football and NFL draft podcast. This is Matt Miller, your host, sitting with my guy Mello, talking about we're recording Thursday night, Chiefs Chargers tonight. I know I'm excited to watch Derek Johnson try to shut down Hunter Henry.
Oh, it's just it's the matchup everybody's been waiting for.
It's all that's been talked about.
All of 2018, we've been waiting for this night, and now we finally get it.
Oh, Stephen A. God, he makes more than all of us put together listening to this podcast, probably. But we're here as we're getting closer to the Christmas season. We're going to have a fun show tonight. Going to go around the league. We got a good top five for you tonight. Top five Heisman moments now that we know who won this year's Heisman. My goodness. I'm Stephen Ang over here. And then we're going to get to your guys' draft on draft questions. And we're going to debut a new segment. It's been a long time since we've done this. Would you rather?
Uh-huh.
That's it. That's the new segment. Would you rather?
Oh, okay. I was waiting for you to ask me a question.
You know, I'm trying to figure out what color your shirt is.
That's a great question. I think it's navy and maroon.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was black and white at first.
It's a plaid number is what I'm wearing tonight.
It's gingham.
It's a Walmart brand
shirt.
Ooh,
it looks good on you. I like it.
Stretch fit. It's about $12.
Nice. Yeah. Mine was not. So good for you. Looks fantastic. Before we get to it, two little bits of information tonight, and we're going to tell you this three times a week, damn it, until January 21st. Get yourselves down to the Senior Bowl. We already have our credentials. Thank you, Jim Nagy. And we will be at Draft Picks Tap Room right on Dolphin Street at 7:30 p.m. the 21st and the 23rd, doing the show live, hanging out, drinking beer, taking questions, playing cornhole, and the whole crew is going to be there.
Yeah, there was a little bit of a question on, is Mello going to be there or not? Well, I am. Got it confirmed. This Monday, my bosses are letting me go, and the BR bosses are like, yeah, sure, what the heck, why not?
Yeah, I guess. If we need Matt there. So, yeah, if you want to go, it'd be great. But, yeah, whole crew's going to be there. Me, you, Connor, Austin, TR the intern, Jesse the boss, Whiskey the Dan. Everybody's going to be there. It's going to be a great time. And then one more selfish / unselfish note. You guys know I'm huge into this Coat for Kids charity. Officially made it a foundation this year called the 417 Foundation. And every week I've been auctioning off a free jersey. All you got to do, you donate at least $5 on PayPal or Venmo. You're entered in to win the jersey of your choice. There's been a Pat Mahomes jersey. I had to custom make a Detroit Lions throwback Deshaun Hand for a guy who won it. Stephon Diggs. This week, I'm hoping it's someone cool. Like, the Mahomes jersey was cool. Deshaun Hand in a throwback Lions jersey. It's like $200, right, but the guy won it, so he won it. Cool. He gets the jersey. So check that out on Twitter. You can Venmo me, NFL Draft Scout, or you can PayPal the 417 Foundation. Just $5, you're entered to win, so it's a pretty cool thing.
I think it would probably be pretty easy to get these guys to sign it if you just went at them on Twitter and be I just won a jersey donating to a foundation.
Yeah, tag me in it and just say, hey, I won a jersey from NFL Draft Scout. Like Taylor Lewan said, because there were some guys that were like, hey, he was like hitting all his buddies up, like, donate $5 so I have a bigger chance to win this. And he wanted a Taylor Decker jersey, or Taylor Lewan, excuse me. So I tagged Lewan. It's like, hey, will you sign this if this dude wins? He's like, yeah, no problem. So yeah, there you go. I'll do my best to get it signed for you if you win it. It's that easy. $5. Is that it? What can you buy for $5 anymore?
But probably just like a drink. So
a dollar dance or a loaf of French bread. That's it. That's
well, now that you've put those two things on the table, I don't know. I mean, how valuable is a coat for a little kid? Like,
save your money. All right. The news of the week. The college football playoff might finally, maybe, thank the Lord above, be going to 8 teams. And all it took, basically, was Ohio State being left out and Central Florida continuing to complain. Like the kid who wants to pick a fight with all the bigger kids, but doesn't really want to fight them. That's what UCF is doing. Maybe next year, though, we would see a smaller school, or there's not a small school, but, you know, a mid-major have a shot at the playoff. They want Bama. Maybe next year they could get Bama. Eight teams. I know you want it as much as I want it. It's good for everybody.
It just goes to show the kind of society that we live in. If social media gets pissed off enough, they can change the entire world. They could even change the college football playoff, because everyone on Twitter is just saying how they would fix it. And almost every idea that I've seen makes sense.
All the ideas are better than what happens.
Yes, and like, people are even throwing out ideas that would make the NCAA money that they didn't think of. Yeah. What the fuck are you doing in Indianapolis that you can't think of this and sell a national championship game?
How could they're selling the Heisman? People, we watched for an hour and 15 minutes the other night a commercial for the Heisman.
Yeah.
When really all you need is the update in the BR app at 8:15 p.m. that says Kyler Murray won.
Yeah.
That's all you need.
But go watch his speech on Twitter.
You can sell these games for so much. Like we've said before, two more bowl games out of the 41 that they play already. Make them a playoff game. Let's expand this thing. I think it's a fantastic idea. And hopefully now that, you know, if Barry Alvarez is getting involved, you know, shit's going to get done.
And I'm sure that teams and fans are still going to be upset if you're number 9 or you're number 10. But, you know, at least we're correcting it. We're in the right area. And I think that 8 teams is going to be a good number. I honestly don't think I would complain and say, oh, the number 9, 10, and 10 team, whatever. Like, you had your chance. You should have won it. You didn't. So you get left out.
Well, and I think, like, you can even look at this year. Obviously, you know, Bama and Clemson and Notre Dame go undefeated. They deserve to be in there. But then Oklahoma at 4, Georgia at 5, Ohio State at 6. There was a good argument for all those teams to be in.
Mm-hmm.
Michigan would have got in at 7. UCF would have got in at 8. I don't think anybody sitting here would be like, ah, that 3-loss Washington should be in there, or, you know, 3-loss LSU,
exactly,
or 4-loss Texas. Those teams don't have a legitimate argument. But this year is just a picture perfect of how an 8-team playoff would have worked. Could you imagine Bama versus UCF?
Well, it'd probably just be a shit show. But it'd also, if you're going to say that you value a conference championship, then you better let every conference champ in there.
Yeah.
If you're still going to say that, if you're going to come out and say, we want people who won their championship, well, you can't leave them out.
Especially because the Big Ten.
You have 5 power conferences and then some other pretty good ones like Notre Dame this year. Not in a conference. Not a conference winner. Should they have been left out? They didn't win a conference. You say you value that shit.
I mean, the Pac-12 and the Big Ten were completely left out this year. And Washington, like I said, 3-loss team. It's tough to make that argument. But even if you expand it to that, put your 5 conferences in and then 3 at larges.
Yeah.
Yeah, it worked. It's boom. So fucking easy. Simple, which is why it hasn't happened, because it's just too easy. The NCAA assholes cannot get it figured out. 2 things that we need to figure out, Mello. A lot of smoke has been brewing. I think that was collecting.
I don't think it brews.
Blowing? I don't know. I'm making a motion. I don't know what it does. Collecting.
Bellowing.
There you go.
I don't know what it does.
Should Kyler Murray enter the NFL draft? Not will he. We understand. No, neither of us know if he will or won't.
Right. And you talked about it with Connor on the midweek show, too. Like Scott Boras's agent coming out and all these different things. He's got a really good setup with the MLB. He was a very high draft pick. He is a millionaire because the way he plays baseball. Dude, just go play baseball. If it doesn't work out for you, do what all these other guys do. In 3 years, try your hand at the NFL again.
Yeah.
But right now, you're honestly probably 5'10". You're probably not going to be a first round pick. Like, you might be at the end of the first round or whatever, but you are a top pick in the MLB draft. You are a top 100 prospect already. The A's already love you. Their fan base is looking forward to you and what you can do in baseball. You are set up there for success. You need to try your hand at it. There's no reason for you to declare for the NFL draft and test it out and see what happens. You made a commitment to baseball. Roll with it, man. The life of an MLB All-Star is not a bad one.
No, it's not. It's a lot more money as an MLB All-Star, especially as a center fielder. I know we've talked before about, you know, will he, won't he? None of us truly knows. And if Scott Boras doesn't know, then there's no way that we're ever going to know, because he is his agent. And I don't know if he's actually licensed to be a football agent. That would be interesting. He might have to hire someone to be his football agent.
Yeah, I don't recall him ever doing any NFL deals. He is the agent for Major League Baseball, which tells you what Kyler Murray should do.
Yeah, he's like the Lee Steinberg of
baseball. He's going to get you a huge deal.
Yeah, I mean, it came out today. Oklahoma did put his name into the advisory committee, which is smart.
Yeah, why not?
Why not see? I think it will come back that he's a day two player.
I agree, too. And even if it is like day one, it won't happen. I hate to say it, and I don't want to sound like I'm hating on Kyler Murray because he went to Oklahoma. He's just small. And at the like one position where you have to be 6 foot tall, he's not.
I know he's listed at 5'11", 195. I do not see that.
No, and as soon as those cleats come off, like he might be 5'11 in cleats. I don't see it for him. I think he is one of the best college football players we've ever seen. He has an incredibly strong arm, and that is not even like to his size. He just has a good, strong arm. But, man, you are set up to do a lot of good things in baseball. Go be a baseball player. This should not be a question. If I'm advising him or if I'm in his entourage group, I'm begging this dude to go play baseball.
Yeah, it is going to be fascinating to see what happens. The deadline for underclassmen to declare is 1 month from today. If you guys are listening to the show Friday, January 14th is the deadline. So he has about a month to figure his shit out, basically.
And I wouldn't be surprised if he does declare. I mean, does he have to declare? I don't know.
He does have to declare.
So yeah. I would not be shocked if he declares. That does not mean he's going to get drafted. It does not mean even if he does get drafted, that he would play. Please go play baseball. I want to see you play baseball.
His situation is weird, though. Because he's not going back to school.
He's not really a senior.
Right. I think he would technically have to declare. He's an underclassman, and he still has eligibility.
Yeah, so he would have to declare.
It is the weirdest situation I've ever covered, that's for sure. We'll see what happens. The other player, will he, won't he, Justin Herbert. This is the lead for my Scouting Notebook article. It comes out every Friday. This week, it's about Justin Herbert. I asked probably 10 people today because it's bothering me that I don't know. Is he coming out? No one freaking knows. I'm sure hopefully he has made a decision. Maybe his parents know. I tell you, his teammates don't. And I talked to the best quarterback agents in the country today, like the guys who always have first rounders. They don't know. So it's a really tough situation right now of what is he going to do? And again, we're getting up to it. We got a month before the deadline. They have a bowl game yet to play that he is playing in, which a lot of people have told me like, oh, well, that probably means he's coming back because he's playing in the bowl game. But that's just a lot of people guessing. I know we've talked before about what he should or shouldn't do, but if you're Justin Herbert, you are 20 years old. People are telling you will be a top five pick. Do you enter the draft? Do you go back to Oregon?
I declare. I probably already would have, and I'm probably not playing in that bowl game either. I know some people have kind of hated on Will Greer for that, but he's looking out for him, and that's what he's got to do right now. And if I'm Justin Herbert, I'm going to do the same thing. We talked about it before with Draft on Draft questions. You have to look at what's coming. And in 2020, there are damn good quarterbacks there. At least two of them, maybe even more. You get into guys like Jacob Eason, he might be there. Other guys might surface and prove that they're worthy. Right now, we're looking at guys like Dwayne Haskins, Daniel Jones. I think Justin Herbert blows them out of the water if he does declare, and he just hasn't yet. So, and a lot of people do think he's going to go back, and I think that's keeping his name off draft boards and out of our show even. Yeah. And people just aren't talking about him, and people aren't putting him on boards. I think he should declare. It's not a solid quarterback class. He should declare, and I think if he does, he would be quarterback one.
I agree with you. So if he is listening, if his parents are listening, if he had two brothers, if they happen to listen, I would declare. And just for that reason, I can remember having this conversation with some people about Mitch Trubisky. And actually, it's funny because this came up today talking to a scout about it. He was like, this just reminds me of Trubisky. He didn't know what he was going to do. He wasn't 100%. He wasn't 100% either way. And then people started talking and saying, hey, this guy would be the first quarterback taken. He'd be a top five pick. Mm-hmm. Come out. Because all you can do is hurt your stock.
Well, and the same thing with him, too. You look at the 2018 quarterback class. It was loaded. Loaded with quarterbacks.
Yeah.
So, maybe you come out a little bit too early, and the film might not look as great as it can. but you're still probably going to be the number one pick.
Yeah, and I think that's exactly where we're at now. He might not be the number one pick because of Nick Bosa and because the way the board is stacking right now to where, you know, the top couple teams don't need a quarterback. Right now, San Francisco at 1, Arizona at 2, Oakland at 3, Atlanta at 4, the Jets at 5, Bills at 6. Those teams all have a quarterback. So that tells me there's going to be some trade movement. Oh, Jacksonville at 7, Tampa at 8, the Giants at 10, the Bengals at 11. Those teams could all use a quarterback.
Yeah, and could all trade up. There's a couple of them that have
Bosa comes off the board, man, that shit's going to go fast, I think.
Yeah, and just like, you know, with Goff, we've seen teams trade up for him. Jameis Winston, Mariota got taken 1-2. Like, people are going to take a quarterback high. And if they have to trade up some picks to get there, they will, especially in a draft like this, because we have one really strong pick right now in Bosa. And I know that there's some other guys, Quinnen Williams, Ed Oliver, Josh Allen, but teams are going to try to trade up for a quarterback, and they will give up a lot to get there.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's going to be crazy. It's like the first time ever that I really don't know what these two quarterbacks who could shake up the whole order are going to do.
It's kind of exciting.
For the first time in a long time, we got a new segment, and this one is one. It's going to be a lot like Draft on Draft, where we really need you guys to participate. So get your Twitter fingers ready. You can send these in. Twitter's probably preferred. You can do Instagram. You can do Reddit. You can text us if you got our number. If you don't, I'm sure one of these days I'll accidentally slip and give it out on the show. It's called Would You Rather, and it's that simple. You present us with a situation, give us a couple options, and we'll pick which we would rather do. And you guys can weigh in as well. Tweet us. Let us know what you would decide, basically. You came up with
and
this.
The listeners came up with a lot of good ones already. You tweeted about it on Thursday morning. And they responded very well. So I think that this segment is going to stick. Let's get right into it, though. First one, would you rather win a Super Bowl or be a Hall of Famer?
I'd rather be a Hall of Famer.
I'm going to go with you, too. And I think that was just an easy one because you've done everything that you can. I be Dan Marino or am I Trent Dilfer?
Yeah, who's getting paid Dan more Marino? For marketing opportunities after you play?
Yeah.
Brad Johnson's probably doing card shows. Dan Marino's hitting golf balls in the air and catching them with his hat like a motherfucking god.
Yeah, so for me, it's definitely Hall of Famer. And not to take away anything from a Super Bowl, there's just so many different levels of, like, I've won a Super Bowl.
Right. Yeah, are you like the 53rd guy on the roster?
Exactly.
Or did you contribute?
Not to shit on Trent Dilfer again, but defense won that Super Bowl. Yeah. You just happened to be the quarterback on it. Dan Marino, one of the best quarterbacks we've ever seen, just couldn't do it. Couldn't find the team to get it done. Had some great receivers, just never got the opportunity. And for the longest time, John Elway, people thought he was going to be the same way. I believe it was his second year playing, went to a Super Bowl, lost it to your 49ers.
They did.
And it wasn't until a guy named Terrell Davis came along that he was able to win a Super Bowl. But for me, I want to wear that gold jacket.
Yeah, Charles Haley has 5. He and Tom Brady are tied. Isn't that crazy?
Every time you say Charles Haley, I just think of how crazy Haley was.
He's absolutely crazy. All right, next one. Would you rather fight Charles Haley or an alligator? I know that's not really one, but it might be. And this one is relevant. Would you rather tailgate for a day game or a night game?
We have tailgated a few games. But I'm going to go with a night game here because I want to sleep in, and I'm more of a night owl. I do not do well in the mornings. So for me, I would rather tailgate at night. We really thought we were going to have the chance to do that in Baton Rouge, and the whole freaking purpose of that game was to go to Baton Rouge at night, and it didn't happen for us. So I want that experience of being able to tailgate for a night game. We got to do it in Austin, where you had a day, you got to do your stuff, get everything ready and together, and then go tailgate and then go to your game that night. It was just a much better environment for me.
Yeah, I would pick a night game as well. I have a tendency, and people who've tailgated with me will back this up, when the tailgate starts early, I don't pace well.
Yeah, it's just all or nothing.
It gets in my head that it's like, we only have 5 hours to tailgate. Oh my God, I got to do it all right now. And then I end up passed out in a parking lot somewhere. So you really do have to, I think, the night game is better. Like you said, you could sleep in. You can probably eat at least one meal not in a parking lot. Our friend Josh, who runs Mid-America RV, they drove to Kansas City to do the Chiefs Chargers Thursday night game. He pulled the natty wagon, the trailer that we took to Ohio State. He pulled it with an RV and sent me a picture, and he was like, this is like how you do it. He's going to sleep in the RV tonight because it's a night game, so you don't have to like drive all the way home. He's going to sleep in the RV. Man's a genius.
That's great. And I can't believe how great that game was. Man, the Chargers and the Chiefs, what a matchup. Really great game. Chiefs just, whew.
That's a great game. That no-look pass. Didn't even see it coming. All right, next one up. Would you rather start for a team on a bowl ban or sit for a team in the playoff?
Start. Well, this one's kind of different for me.
Yeah.
Because I would want to play, but then the bowl ban thing, I don't know. I'm torn on that one right now. What do you think?
I would rather start for a team on a ban. I don't care about a bowl game. I'm trying to get to the league. You know, like, I don't think that one matters that much.
Yeah, I guess it kind of depends on, like, who you are. Because college is so different. Like, am I a freshman? Am I sitting out 1 year? And then I can go, am I redshirting? Like, what's the deal? I'm just going to be different for once so we don't agree on all these. And I'm going to say that I'm going to sit for a playoff team. I'll be Matt Cassel. I will sit behind guys like Matt Leinart, and then I will go do my time in the NFL. But I want to get that experience of winning. So I'm gonna sit for the playoff team.
All right. I couldn't do it. I would want to play.
I probably would too. And I don't hate on these kids that like transfer. I know every fan base gets pissed off that, oh, our third string quarterback just transferred. Like us as Texas fans, I kind of hope that Bouchel transfers. I think he's earned the right to play and he's not going to with Ellinger there. So if he transfers, I'm not mad at that. Like, good for you, man. Go play somewhere else where you can.
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree with that.
Selfishly really want him to come back just in case Ellinger gets hurt.
Yeah, exactly. Might need it. All right. This is one that people love to send to us, and it's basically inflicting pain on our bodies. Would you rather be kicked on the punt team or drop the punt return?
I have been kicked on the punt team.
I have not.
As like the up-back personal protector. I got blown up, right? You protect the middle. Got blown up and just shoved right backwards and got kicked right in the ass by the punter. It was just a high school punter, but that freaking hurts. And I'll tell you what else. It doesn't happen that often. So I'm going to say I would rather drop the punt. There are things that happen all the time, but when you get your ass hit so hard that you go into the fucking punter, that's embarrassing. Like, you know who messed that one up. Yeah, people drop the ball every once in a while, but another man just trucked you back into the punter. That's not a good look. And I've been there personally.
Yeah, I would rather be kicked. No, I've dropped a punt. Not only is it embarrassing, I also one time dropped a pop fly in center field. That's horrible. Especially when you're like standing there forever waiting for it. And you're like, and then you get your glove up, you know, and you go two handed just like you're supposed to. And then floomp, and you're like, and then you have that moment of, oh, fuck, I gotta try to catch it and you just make it worse.
This isn't a baseball podcast, but with like the winter meetings going on, I tried to play a little bit of center field in Little League. And I've told a few people this story before, but my first experience in the outfield, pretty athletic, had a strong arm. So by the time I started to get older, the coach was like, we're going to move you to center field. We got a lot of kids hitting it out there. We think you can be rangy. Very first batter of me playing center field. Cranks one hard. So I'm on my horse running back to the center field wall. I had never practiced in center field. I'd never seen any kind of like pop flies since like very little league, like T-ball. I'm running as fast as I can. I know nothing about the warning track. And at this level of play, isn't really a warning track. It's just non-liberal. Like, oh, what is this? Dead grass? No. I smacked the fucking center field wall as hard as I could because this kid just cranked a homer. So me, turn, run, hit the center field wall as hard as I can. I probably got a concussion. It was back in the day when we didn't diagnose those things. You just shook it off and kept going. But it's after the coaches like ran out to center field to pick me up, I said, move my ass back to third base. I'm not doing this ever again.
I'm out. No more of this.
Terrible.
I don't blame you. So I think I would rather be kicked because when you drop a punt, it's horribly embarrassing and it's your fault. And you get your ass just creamed when that happens.
You definitely do. But man, I'm telling you, being kicked by the punter, that's not a good look.
No, but that's not your fault, really.
But when, so if like the punter gets and creeps up too high on you and then he hits you, like, yeah, that's your fault. Like, what are you doing? But for me, it was, I just got pushed back into the punter. It was all my fault. I just hung on for the ride until eventually I got kicked in the ass.
Well, I was not at that game somehow. All right, last one. And this one's big. Would you rather start for 1 year and win a Heisman or start for 4 years?
Give me that Heisman.
Give me that trophy.
Like anything that has to do with winning the Heisman, I think I want to do that. I think it's the best award in all of sports.
I think so too.
You can talk about MVPs and basketball and the NFL, whatever you want. Nothing is as prestigious as the Heisman.
Hey, you walk in somebody's house and they got a fucking Heisman trophy sitting on a pedestal in the middle of their living room. Like what happened
here? You do a million commercials every year. I think every year people go and they look up past Heisman winners. I honestly couldn't tell you who won the MVP in the NFL last year. Just off the top of my head, no research. I would guess maybe Tom Brady.
Did you see the look on my face? Right? I don't either.
I don't know. But I know Baker Mayfield won the Heisman last year.
Huh.
It's quite the conundrum. But for me, yeah, starting for 4 years would be great.
It was Tom Brady.
But you play college football, one of like the goals that I think you set for yourself, no matter what position even, you want to win the Heisman. And that's what I want to do.
Yeah, it's definitely the Heisman because, again, it is not only is it like you said, everyone knows who won the Heisman last year. It's such a prestigious group because there's only one repeat winner, Archie Griffin. And there's just something about like, I'm the best player in college football. Like that's, and then it springboards you to the NFL. So I'd rather win a Heisman. Again, going back to thinking about like the marketing opportunities that come with it. You're gonna be in the Heisman house. Like you're always a Heisman Trophy winner. No one can take that away from you.
Bonus, would you rather? Would you rather win the Heisman Trophy or be the first pick in the MLB draft?
They say NFL draft. Like that's easy. I'd rather be the first pick in the MLB draft.
Man, there's a lot of money in the MLB.
And you're the first pick.
Right.
There's a lot of money.
I think I'm going to go with, I just talked up the Heisman, but man.
No. You're the first. No, man.
I know it's slotted money and everything, but like you're set for a little while.
Yeah. And you're going to play in the minors for 3 years.
I would go baseball.
Give me that Under Armour baseball deal. Let me be the first pick in the MLB draft. Yeah, I'm down for that.
You can definitely tell that like baseball season is happening and there's a lot of rumbles because I'm getting excited already. Even though like I'm excited about the Royals signing fucking Billy Hamilton, who's just a terrible, terrible center fielder. I hope they trade him for Kyler Murray.
I was looking at season tickets today. Remember, I talked about, I'm just going to do it. I'm going to buy season tickets this year. Yeah, they're really expensive. Even on a bad team, they're still really expensive, but I was thinking about doing it for you. It's top five time, and it's a good one this week. Coming off Kyler Murray winning the Heisman, last week's top five, we talked about the non-Heisman winners. This week, we're going to talk about the guys who did win it with the top five Heisman moments. Coin flip, please.
Well, and you know, I don't think that before we do that, I'm racking my brain here. Did we have a Heisman moment from anyone this year? Like, I can't think of what, like Kyler Murray scrambling around and then completing a pass. I don't remember what game it was.
That was like week one.
I'll tell you, it's not going to make our list this year. Let's go. Heads off the belly onto the table. It's a heads.
It was a belly. It was a tail when it hit your belly. God damn it.
I have to call board when that happens.
I think so.
All right. I'm up first. So Heisman moments. You got to go with Desmond Howard here. The guy struck the Heisman pose and then won it. We've seen a million players do it. We saw Dwayne Haskins do that limp-wristed, broken arm Heisman thing and then not win it. Kellen Winslow comes to mind, tried it week one. Yeah. You're a tight end, sit the fuck down.
He's a soldier.
Desmond Howard did it and actually won it. That's the iconic pose.
And
you
he was
see
the
it
first one.
Every year they show that highlight of him striking the pose. Desmond Howard, because I love him as an analyst and as a punt returner, I'm going with him as number one.
Can we just talk about one thing, though?
Yeah.
Everyone, like, if you aren't old enough or haven't seen it, Desmond Howard, when he struck the Heisman, he pulls that left knee in, like, up to his goddamn belly button, right? He's, like, and he's stiff-arming with his left hand, the legs up. Have you ever looked at the actual Heisman Trophy?
Yeah, he's just like running.
Both feet are down.
Mm-hmm.
That always bothered me.
And I think that's another thing that's changed it because that he changed it. Like the Heisman Trophy.
Yes.
Everyone puts that leg up and it's because
of
him.
And it's not.
Yeah, right. Both feet are on the ground. Like he is running. He's crouched over. Right. There's no leg up.
Right. He looks like fucking David Montgomery, you know, like running stiff arming somebody.
Yeah.
But That's always bothered me. I don't know why.
Yeah, it does me too.
I love Desmond Howard as well. And it's ballsy as hell to do it. We were watching the fights after the Heisman Trophy. Dean kills a man and does the Heisman Trophy. Pros. Right. So yeah. I should probably check in on that guy. I kind of forgot about that. Number one Heisman moment for me, and I can't believe that you did not pick this one, Ricky Williams against Texas A&M. Run, Ricky, run. This dude, not only did he win the Heisman Trophy, but also set the rushing record against Texas A&M at the time, the career rushing record. It wasn't like some iconic run. He didn't like bust off for, 90 yards against A&M, but it was one of those plays that like, it's the end of the first quarter on some grainy ass ABC game, and he takes off and bust one on A&M. So that's always going to be one of those plays that like I remember super well from just from growing up, and for him to pass Tony Dorsett in that moment and to do it against a rival, mm-hmm. to do it against A&M. Like I think we already knew he was going to win the Heisman that year, but just that play alone made it to where you're like, okay, yep, this guy's going to win the Heisman now.
Yeah, and that was, I mean, I've said it a million times here. That's when I fell in love with college football, was watching Ricky Williams run the ball. So he was like the first, my first favorite player in college football. And to see him win a Heisman Trophy, I mean, that's why I'm a Texas fan. Next one, I'm going to go ahead and block you because I know that you love this guy. I'm going to stick with Michigan here, make our friends happy that we're tailgating with us. Charles Woodson and his punt return against Ohio State. This dude was phenomenal on the field. I think he's probably one of the best college football players of all time. Probably, I mean, like top five. I loved watching him play. No one looked better in that Michigan uniform than two. And watching him with the punt return again against a rival in a huge game set them up for a national championship. And he went on to also win the Heisman Trophy. I think if he would have struck the pose, it would have been blown up. It would have been the coolest thing that I think we've ever seen. But for him to do it, great player, loved watching him. And I know I got to draft him before you get him, so I'll take him at the two spot.
People forget how just goddamn physical he was in college. And he put the rose in his mouth at the end of that game because they were going to the Rose Bowl to play for the national championship. So huge game for Charles Woodson. Did he fight David Boston that day too?
Probably. I know he fought David Boston. I don't know if it was the same year, but yeah.
God, I loved Charles Woodson. Yeah. Yeah, damn it. That should have been
dude just showed up in big games. Ohio State, Michigan State.
Yeah.
All over the field, too. Like, you didn't know when it was going to happen, but if he's on the field.
He was one of those guys, like, you looked to see what Michigan was playing, and you watched.
Yeah.
Or I know we did, anyway. Mm-hmm. I'm sure everybody else probably did, too. Number two for me, this one is personal. Reggie Bush losing the Heisman after winning it. When it got taken from him, that is the best Heisman moment for me was, and I've said before, they should have just passed it down to Vince Young since it was rightfully his anyway, but Reggie Bush, fumbling the ball away in the national championship game to really turn the tide in that one, not being able to pick up short yardage. I never liked Reggie Bush as a player. The whole Bush-push thing I thought was bullshit. And then he wins the Heisman and just subsequently loses it. That's my favorite moment. That's evil, I know.
I actually had him on my board as my very next like guy because, and I'm going to use it too. Because you did vacated wins. I think his real Heisman moment was against Fresno State where he just hit the brakes, stops on a dime, changes directions. Whoop. I mean, after that, Vince Young should have won the trophy and the voting is a fraud. But he was an electrifying player, and you cannot take that away from him. The guy beat a Heisman that was already on his team, and Matt Leinart, like, took it from him, had Lindell White there, didn't even split votes with that guy. With that talent on that team, that's probably the second best college football team we've ever seen,
and
he was leading it.
You know this, but at the time, I actually loved Reggie Bush. Like, the way that he played was so electric. Like I said, he was another person that, when they were playing, you watched because you didn't know if it was as a kick returner, a punt returner, a runner, a receiver. Like, he impacted the game in so many different ways. It's just pure speed and agility. I mean, he was fantastic to watch. But, you cheat, you get caught.
Well, and I think he was just a little ahead of his time. He was like the first kind of scat back. He would dominate the NFL today.
Yeah,
if he were healthy and he could come in and play. I mean, he would be unstoppable.
With how fast he is.
Yeah, like what you see with Christian McCaffrey or even Yeah. Tyreek Hill, like, I don't know what kind of player he would be in today's game, but damn, he was good.
All right, number three on the list. This won him the Heisman, I believe, and it started with Baker planting the flag at Ohio State. Like, him signifying that, like, hey, he's here and he's not messing around. The clapping back at the Kansas players. I know we've talked before about, like, that. I think it got blown way out of proportion, but Baker Mayfield put himself on the stage with his mouth as much as he did his play. And I might not be a big Mayfield fan, but I respect the hell out of that. Like, a guy who will talk shit and then back it up. Like, I love that. Like, that Michael Jordan style of play.
And when he was at Oklahoma, I liked him a little bit more. I've kind of soured on him recently. But I even loved it. Like, when Kansas just straight up disrespected him and refused to shake his hand, whatever. Those guys were tools. They had it coming when he was doing the, you know, hand motion on the sideline and all that stuff, yelling at him. Like, you ask for it, you got it. And the planting the flag thing, to hear him talk about it later, is kind of the heat of the moment thing. And then people were yelling at him to do it. So, yeah, I did kind of like it. I'm with you there. I'll stick with quarterbacks that people don't like. I'll go with the original Baker Mayfield, Johnny Manziel. Johnny Manziel against Alabama. I loved watching him play, and I know I've talked about him before. He found a weakness in Nick Saban's defenses, and not many people could do that. And he did it against Alabama, and he did it as a freshman. And when he did it, he won himself the Heisman Trophy. He could have thrown 20 interceptions the rest of the year. The way he played against Alabama and Nick Saban won him the Heisman, and it was another guy running around, scrambling, kind of paved the way for guys like Baker and Kyler Murray, and these undersized quarterbacks with strong arms. And he did it, and he did it against one of the best teams ever.
Yeah, there is that scramble against Alabama where you're like,
fumbles the ball.
Yeah, man, Mike Evans made him look good, though. Let's just be real about that. Mike Evans made that boy look real good. Number four on my list, and I've talked about this play so many times because it is like, I tried to do this every time we played backyard football. Eric Crouch's 95-yard run against Missouri. Look it up if you've never seen it before. Just the way that he just cuts through that defense and then to hit the gas when he has to, and just the way he's like moving his hips to evade guys. I mean, first of all, he should have been sacked and wasn't. To get away from, it was probably like Justin Smith in the backfield, known Missouri at the time, but to get away from it and then just to see him move around, not get sacked in the end zone. I mean, the yard, it was 95 yards. It was a 100-yard run. I don't care what anybody says. But the way he moved and ran and just, like, pulls away from that Missouri defense. And as someone who has lived in Missouri for all but 1 year of their life, I fucking loved it. Loved it. Because there is nothing worse. Like, KU basketball fans and Mizzou football fans are my least favorite people in this area because they think they're better than they are. And I loved it when Eric Crouch did that.
Yeah, and at least the KU basketball fans, like, you've won a couple of conference championships in a row. Like, you can speak. Mizzou kind of still like a second tier, maybe second tier. I don't know. Maybe third tier.
I don't know, Jim.
Yeah, you're right. There's always a lot of hype around them. And to watch Eric Crouch, I think at the time I might have been like kind of a Nebraska fan, but I did watch a lot of Nebraska ball, and Eric Crouch doing his thing was amazing. Number seven. Anytime you wear number seven, I'm going to like what you're doing. I'm out of options on my big board here, so I'm just going to get creative. And maybe this doesn't fit into our qualifications. I don't give a shit. Because when Vince Young won the Rose Bowl for the second year in a row, that should have solidified his Heisman Trophy, but it didn't, and I don't care. It goes on the board. Because if voters were voting when they're supposed to, Vince Young would have won that Heisman. He should win it anyway, because as you alluded to earlier, we don't have a Heisman Trophy winner for that year because Reggie Bush took some money, possibly even a house. Vince Young should have won that Heisman Trophy when he ran into the corner of the end zone and beat USC.
Yeah, I had a different one on my list, but I'm going to close it out with number five because I just landed in New York, and I actually had my daughter with me. I was going to take her to watch a Broadway play before I had to work on Sunday in the studio, and across the street from our hotel was a bar, and it was a Florida State bar. And it was like, we needed to get some, it was a bar and grill. I didn't take my child into a bar. It was a bar and grill. So we needed to get some lunch, and we just landed. Our room wasn't ready. It's like, oh, let's just walk over here and get some lunch. Florida State bar. It's the day they were playing Louisville in 2016. Lamar Jackson beat the heavenly shit out of Florida State that day. And it was, at the time, it was the closest thing I'd seen to Mike Vick, you know, where it was just like, oh my God, this guy is amazing. And it put him on the stage. It put Louisville on the stage as a team that was like a legit threat. And I think that is the game. I mean, some people say the Syracuse game, but to me, that's the one where he won the Heisman Trophy that day with his arm, with his legs. I mean, he was all over that Florida State defense.
A very good defense.
Yeah.
This is not the 2018 right. Florida State team. This was a team that was contending for national championships, and Lamar Jackson just tore him up.
Literally ran right through them. Just.
Yes. Yes.
Gone. It is draft on draft time. We've got some great questions for you guys. And as we've said before, we are going to be doing some draft on draft heavy shows as we get into Christmas time. I'm actually going to be on vacation next week. So we're going to do a little Back to the Future stuff and give you guys, make sure we still hit your three shows a week. To do that, we're going to fill in with some draft on draft questions. So just a couple of them tonight. But we've got some good ones we wanted to get in. This one is very timely because of Chiefs Chargers on Thursday night. At Jets Joe wants to know, any thoughts on Eric Bieniemy, the Chiefs offensive coordinator, as a head coach specifically for the New York football Jets?
The great thing about him is that he is currently with the Kansas City Chiefs, and their offense looks pretty good this year.
Pretty good.
So he's probably going to get some head coaching looks. That's just the way the NFL works. Even if you're a shitty coach, if your teams are playing well, that's, you're going to get looks. And everybody is going after these younger offensive-minded guys, and he is an offensive-minded guy. So he's going to get a lot of head coaching looks. For the Jets specifically, I think they are going to want to pair Darnold with somebody like him. So I think it makes sense.
Yeah, it does. I don't think he's ready. And you know, everyone listening to this knows, I was way on the Matt Nagy bandwagon. I might have built the fucking thing. I think it's too early for Bieniemy. I think we need to see him. You know, Nagy was actually calling plays here and there in his last year in Kansas City. We haven't seen that from Bieniemy yet. You know, he's 49 years old. He still has time to develop as a coach. He's only been an offensive coordinator for just this 1 year. And being the offensive coordinator in Kansas City is not like being the offensive coordinator everywhere
else. But you look at the offensive coordinators before him.
Yeah,
they're head coaches now.
Doug Peterson, Matt Nagy. Yep. Pretty good.
So he is definitely going to get his shot. If it's not this year, it'll be next year.
Yeah, I do think it'll happen. For the Jets, like you said, you want to pair up Darnold with the guy. I think, obviously, some of you might remember Bieniemy playing in the NFL. I mean, he's a running back, and he was a running back's coach. Went back to Colorado where he went to college. He was a Chiefs running back's coach for a long time. They obviously had success. So you think about the ways that he can scheme up the run game. That's going to be super important. It would be, as I've said before, it's about the staff you can bring with you, and being in that Andy Reid tree definitely helps. So he's an intriguing name. I still, man, that Jets job is going to be fascinating, and we got to see who's going to be the GM.
Exactly. Let's go next one. Ben Arndt. DeFilippo wasn't a good coach and was just in Minnesota trying to secure a head coaching job. Thoughts?
I was just saying, that's not a draft on draft question.
No,
that's a statement. I actually DM'd with Ben a little bit over this, and I think, yes, and I won't fault John DeFilippo for going from Philadelphia, where he was quarterback's coach, to Minnesota as OC. That's what you're supposed to do as a coach. You try to keep moving up the ladder. You know, go to a team that was a play away from the Super Bowl last year, basically, and had a very good shot at getting better this year with Kirk Cousins under center. It just didn't work, and I've heard things come out since they fired him that he was more worried about his next job, not focusing on the job he had, and it showed with their lack of a run game, which is what Mike Zimmer wants, and they were not developing as an offense. I was saying it a year ago. I never thought that he should be getting as much credit as he got for the job that the Eagles had done. I thought a lot of that was Doug Peterson. More of it was probably Frank Reich, who's doing a pretty damn good job in Indianapolis right now.
And that's what I was thinking, too. Like, we don't talk about him enough and the success that they are having up in Indianapolis. I think they did a very good job of finding a good coach. And I think a lot of the success that he has got him into that position.
Yeah. It's going to be a lot of fun to see who that's a good job that's going to be open as offense coordinator. I don't know if they'll just keep the quarterback's coach that they promoted in there or not, but yeah, it'd be a big one.
And everybody does hate Kirk Cousins, but You got some pretty damn good receivers there. Dalvin Cook, we'll see what happens with him. A lot of the offense wasn't working this year in Minnesota, so it's hard to get a real judge of how well he was doing. Plus, he's coming off an injury. So there's some pieces there in Minnesota. I think it will be an intriguing position.
Mason Whitlock, hope married life's treating you well, buddy. How big of an impact, if any, do you think Kelvin Benjamin will have for the Chiefs? He didn't look out of shape to me. As of now, Veach's record for getting players like that and getting the best out of them is pretty good.
No impact. I don't I don't think it's going to be much. Like, you look at their offense and their receivers, I don't see where he fits into this scheme.
Yeah, almost like as a second tight end.
Right, exactly. Like, he's Travis Kelce's backup when they split him out in the slot. So I don't know that he is going to have much of an impact. And I don't know about him getting on the field. I know Sammy Watkins is out, but they are looking for speed.
Yeah,
I mean, you're going to pair that with Tyreek Hill and try to hit him in the underneath stuff? Because I think Travis Kelce's a better athlete than Kelvin Benjamin.
I love that he's listed as 6'5", 243.
No way.
Yeah.
He was 243 at Florida State.
I don't think he was. High school. I think it's a minimal impact as well. It's a smart pickup because it's very cheap.
Agreed.
And you get 4 weeks basically with last week to see what he's got. And maybe, who knows, maybe he comes in and has a 2 or 3 catch game and picks up some yards where you need him to. He's definitely not a long-term building block. This guy's, like, at some point, we have to forget the fact that guys were drafted in the first round because, number one, he shouldn't have been. He's never lived up to that. I had a round 3 grade on him. He couldn't cut it in Carolina, and now his old quarterback hates him. He couldn't cut it in Buffalo.
Well, and he's already attacking other people for his success, saying if he would have went to a team with a better quarterback, Cam Newton was like an MVP when he was in Carolina. Like, you guys, they went to a Super Bowl. What more do you need from your quarterback? And now you have Pat Mahomes, so you definitely can't say anything about the success of your quarterback because no one's playing the position better than Pat right now.
Man, to hear you say that.
We've come a long way in a year's time.
We really have. Oh, that's great. All right. From at JCK. HLPN. Jack Halpin.
No vowels in that. So.
From a consonant. He needs us to power rank the following items. And he suggested this is a perfect iTunes review question. Power rank these things, Mello. Are you ready? Number 1, chocolate chip pancakes.
Gross.
Number 2, French toast.
Mm-hmm.
Number 3, waffles.
Mm-hmm.
Number 4, pancakes. And he adds in this note, with syrup.
Okay, I don't know how else you would eat them.
Pancakes without syrup.
Okay, but if I'm power ranking, I think waffles always go first. I love waffles. I've even messed up before and said they had a sausage pocket. They do not. They have a syrup pocket,
they
though,
do.
Which is the ultimate breakfast. Plus, pop those bad boys in a toaster for 30 seconds. They're ready to go.
Carry them.
Yeah. Like, does anybody even really make waffles anymore unless you're at a hotel?
No. Right. Waffle House. They do.
Yeah, and they make it for you. So really, just waffles are number one. Probably, like, I know they were on my top 5 breakfast foods, and that's why we talked about them before. So for me, power ranking these, waffles is number one.
What about 2?
Number 2, French toast is pretty damn good. But pancakes are also pretty easy to... I found these pancakes at Walmart. This isn't a Walmart show either, but
yes, it is.
We're in the Midwest, so it's hard. There are pancakes there, and they're like mini sized. You can just pop those bad boys in the microwave for a minute, and you can eat them on the road.
Does your new house have a stove?
You're
everything goes in the microwave.
It's just convenience, like in
microwave
the morning
and toaster.
Like, I don't want to wake up and make myself some homemade pancakes. So no.
You live alone. Why would you do that?
So I'm gonna go with. I eat pancakes quite a bit, and I got the body type for it. So I'm going to put pancakes number 2. French toast is a very close, but it's going to be 3 for me, but I do love them. And then I don't like chocolate chip.
No,
so
I don't either.
We're probably going to get some hate on Twitter for that one. I don't like it. I don't even like chocolate chip cookies. So no on the chocolate chip pancakes.
You're ready to get some hate. And you know this is true. I'm not lying. I'm not saying this for controversy. I don't like any of these things.
I don't know what you eat for breakfast.
A Clif
You don't
bar.
Eat cereal either, do
no,
you?
No, I like cereal a lot. Yeah. I don't like sweet things for breakfast. I don't know why. Maybe I'm diabetic or maybe I'm not diabetic.
Maybe you just
know.
Have a thing against syrup because really all of these pair with syrup.
Yeah. You know, like even back in the day when mom would like try to make us like not try, but like when she would make pancakes or something, I would always want scrambled eggs with them. Like I have to offset
Bacon and eggs kind
of
guy.
Yes. Like, please, just give me 3 to 7 strips of bacon and 3 eggs scrambled, and I'm set.
What do you put on waffles and pancakes? What is that stuff?
Me?
Yep. You know, the brown
maple syrup? Stuff?
Syrup, okay. I wanted to see how you said it. Some people say syrup, and I don't like it.
Syrup?
Yeah. No. All right, I work with a lady that says syrup, and I don't like it.
I thought you were making fun of the fact that I put salsa on eggs, but...
No. I was just trying to get you to say syrup. I don't know if I say it right or if I say it like a redneck.
That's the only one way to find out.
Syrup.
Let us know.
What do you say?
Yeah. All right. Last question from @NotSoNastyNick.
Nice.
I wonder who like really nasty Nick is or like.
Yeah. Who is the nastier Nick?
Yeah. All right. If DK Metcalf's medicals check out and he tests well, how high can he go? I think he's top receiver.
I still like N'Keal Harry better, to tell you the truth.
You've been on
I love N'Keal Harry. And if his medicals check out, I think that's a big if. But how high can he go? Top 5.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the ceiling is very high there, especially if you talk just draft status. People need a receiver, and if somebody does solidify themselves as a number one type receiver, then, I mean, hell, yeah. You could go number 2 overall.
Yeah, and actually, today, Friday, happy birthday, DK Metcalf. He's 21. Crack open a beer for us. Happy birthday. I do think his potential is the highest of any in this class, which is really a 4-letter word when it comes to receivers, because potential is... You would much rather see it instead of having to bet on it.
And I think that's kind of what we've ran into recently is we're betting on people's potential and then it just doesn't pan out. You look at Mike Williams, who's having a pretty good year with the Chargers, but I think we expected more. Corey Davis expected more in Tennessee, and it's just not happening. But maybe the receiver class can turn around. I don't hate the receiver class as much as you and Connor do. Not that you hate it. You're just a little bit lower than I think I am on the receiver class.
Yeah, there it is. All right, that's our show for Friday morning. We will be back. All three of us will be back Monday morning as we break down the weekend, get into more of your draft on draft questions. So make sure you have subscribed, download that puppy, and we will talk to you all Monday morning.